David was saying, this poor man, although I cried, amen, the Lord delivered me. Now we got to see what happened here. In verse 7, we understand the praise that David had and the prayer that he prayed. But because of the praise and because of the prayer, God gave him protection.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
am determined to go on. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the reason I'm here this morning is because I'm determined to go on. Now come on, give God some praise if you really mean it. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to be in your house, to be ministered to you, to be ministered by you, by your spirit, to have fellowship with you and the other believers. Now God, speak a word that will help us and point us in the right direction to make sure that as we minister, we do so effectively according to your word, will, and way. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to commence reading at verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about our Savior is something else. Our Savior is something else. He's trying to, in this text and context, adjust the framework of the thinking of those who follow him against and away from the way that the world operates. He wants them to get a new concept of service in the church. He wants them to understand how it is that he wants them to minister unto others and to fill positions with a spirit of humility and service rather than celebrity status. He wants them to understand that the places he would put them in of service was a place of honor and therefore should be served in humility and with his spirit in the opportunities given them to minister. Well, now here he is, the Son of God, takes on the form of human flesh. He humbles himself for the role that he's playing to be able to help them understand, I gave up all of heaven and its immortal glories, all of my powers as the Son of God, to come down and become a son of man so that I might serve man, humbling himself so that he might serve man with a true spirit of humility out of man's own expressions, out of his own experiences. And the revelation of understanding that puts him in the place where he can best serve man because he understands man. And see, one of the things that you got to note, whenever you serve in the Christian church, your position has been given that authority by God and sanctioned by that church. It is not so that you would be in some elevated place where you will be looked up to, but rather so that you might understand it is a place where God has honored you to serve others. You're not in that place for man to worship you, to lift you up, whereas you become all of that and you think that you deserve the glory that God is reserved for himself only. It has more to do with you understanding he puts you there because you can serve in that position to help other people. And so one of the things that I think is so important this morning is to help folk understand that you can't be in position for any other reason other than knowing it's your call. You're not there for money. You're not there for prestige. You're not there for power. You're not there for popularity. You're there because you've got something to give and you want to do so to the glory of God. If you're serving in any position in a ministry and it does not base the reality of that service upon that principle, then you're serving for the wrong reason. And I do believe it'll change how we do church if those in leadership will recognize why they're in leadership. You don't be that just to say, I am that. Some folk want to preach because they want to be in the pulpit. Or they want to say, I'm a preacher. Some brothers want to be a deacon to be like, I'm a deacon. But they don't want a deacon. Some stewards, mothers, call it a motherboard, deaconesses, want to be there to sit in their white uniforms and to look the part, but they don't want to minister. And every, some people even in the choir, because they want to wear the robes and they like the uniforms and they like the attention that it gets, and they can't even sing. That ain't your calling, boo. You got to know what your calling is, because here's one thing you'll know. You'll be good at it. But it's not just enough to be good at it. You have the right, have to have the right attitude about it. And so Jesus shows us he's something else. That he would leave all of that and come down, humble himself, take on the form of human flesh, and then show them by example what he wanted them to do as it related to service. And see, in this verse, it shows us many things about our Savior. And I want to just walk through some of them. First thing I want to do is show you that it talks about the person of Christ, because it says the Son of Man came. And both the deity and humanity of Christ are stated here in these words. The deity of Christ is stated in the word came. Came. For came says Christ had to come from somewhere else, that he already existed. You can't say I came from if you didn't exist before. All right, so that bespeaks the deity, his position as Son of God in heaven, its immortal glories, etc. And so when we begin to understand that, we begin to understand the pre-existence of Jesus Christ and how he testifies of his deity, and the humanity of Christ is seen in the title, Son of Man. Son of Man shows his humanity. Now, he was the only one who had the right to be called the Son of God. That was his deity. And because he took on human flesh and was born of a virgin, the Son of Man, humanity. So he has deity and humanity in that same person. He is the only one who has a right to be able to be identified as such. And so we become clear in understanding that he was the Son of Man in coming to earth. Christ humbled himself and became a man in order to be our Savior. And he humbled himself that he might be lifted in the sense of glory in salvation. And that's one of the things, I mean, again, how Jesus Christ himself humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. Now, the Son of God dies like a son of man, like human flesh. And one of the things I need to throw out parenthetically to you is that he had to be the Son of Man to die on the cross, otherwise he wouldn't have died as the Son of God. That would not have been any way for him to die as the Creator. And so he had to give up the Son of God position, deity, to take on the form of human flesh, humanity, in order to be able to die. He was born to die. That was the sole purpose of him coming down here. When it's all said and done, he came to be our Savior. He ministered in the meantime, but he came to be our Savior. He had to do what was called the due process of time, which meant he had to do everything leading up to the climactic moment, but his purpose was to be our Savior and show us who he really was so that we might operate in the same vein as he did in the ministering part. Now, we can't be the Savior, but we can show minister because we've been saved. And that's what he wants us to understand. But listen at this. I want you to also understand the purpose of Christ. We have one, the person of Christ, but I want you to see the purpose of Christ. He says, to minister. To minister. Christ came to earth to minister. How that should happen, how that should be, had everything to do with the purpose of knowing why he came. I think I need to say this so that we'll understand. Whatever position you are in, you ought to know the purpose of the position. How can I be a prayer warrior and I don't pray and am not in the place and preparation for prayer? How can I be an evangelist but I ain't ever on the street? I'm not ever in the highways and the byways. I'm not ever in a place where those who are unsaved are likely residing or moving forward or somewhere where I can make contact. Listen, if they come to the church, you ain't went out to get them. Listen, if we're to be fishermen of men, we've got to understand the mentality of the fish. But no matter how much we understand about the mentality of the fish, I don't care how much we sit down in our living room and watch, you know, those fishing programs that teach us all about fishing and so forth and so on, if we never leave our living room and go to the water and bring everything that the fish want to eat to the water, because I can go to the fishing pond with what I like to eat, but that don't mean the fish gonna like what I like to eat. So I got to make sure that I'm fishing to catch fish, which means I've got to go where the fish are and use what's gonna catch the fish to bring. I can't clean the fish till I catch the fish. And so people miss that. And so even if, and there are times and there are situations, I've been fishing and that's happened. Fish will accidentally jump in the boat. Anybody ever had that to happen? Any real fishing? You know? I mean, they're jumping. Fish are jumping, man. And they just happen to jump up one time, two, boom, and jump in the boat. Now, I had nothing to do but be there. I would have missed that fish if I wasn't there. See, sometimes God give us fish just because you're there. Y'all don't hear me yet. But we miss them even when they're trying to get to another place because we aren't even there. And some fish we got to catch by net. Throw it out and catch a school of fish or catch some fish that ain't paying attention. And then some of us are anglers. And that means when you get that rod and reel, you say, I'm going to set it down right there. Boom. Falls right there. See, that looked like a good spot. He said, oh, look at the end of that brush right there. Wind it on back up. Right there. Wait a minute. Oh. Play with it a little bit, jiggle that line a bit. There you go. I knew he was hanging out there. But here again, we have a purpose, and we know what we're going there to get. And something is wrong if we always go to the place and never come back with nothing, especially if we prepare ourselves to go and to return with fish. My grandmother used to always say, when we got ready to go fishing, let me get the grease ready. And she put it in the pot and have it ready for when we come back. And I used to ask her sometimes, Ma, why do you do that? She said, because I'm coming back with some fish. And sure enough, she'd be coming back with some fish. Now, I want to just throw this out. See, everybody don't fish the same. And I got a friend of mine who I I don't even go fishing with him no more. Because his philosophy is, if the fish is big enough to bite, it's big enough to eat. And the fish be that big. And he talking about, listen, I said, what are you gonna do with that? Put that in an aquarium? No, I'm gonna pluck the eyes out and fry them crispy. Eat the bones and all. I said, you know what? We can go to Tony's and get you some fish, man. I'm out here for the sport. But you gotta have a purpose. Somebody say purpose. And the purpose of Christ was to understand and to come and to help to rescue all of mankind from himself. And so it's important to understand how Jesus Christ came to earth with understanding his purpose. His service was leading up to his purpose. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important. You know, if he's going to save us from our sins, then number one, he has to be a savior. And those who come to Jesus or those who reject Jesus set themselves up for an eternal course, either in glory or in hell. But it is because of what Jesus did that they now have a choice. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to understand the purpose of Christ. But thirdly, I want you to understand the price of Christ. The price for Christ. And the word says to give his life. Christ paid the supreme sacrifice to help mankind. That's why when we look at him and see what he did and understand his person and understand his person, it behooves us to know that he was one who knew his mission and gave everything to fulfill it. Wasn't shucking and jiving. Wasn't here to be seen. That's one of the reasons why he would not allow the Jews to make him king in their time and in their way. Because it was in their purpose to have him as king simply to liberate them, to free them from the enemy. But they still would not know him as Savior. They wanted a conquering king to come in and destroy their enemies so that they could be free, but they still would have a soul lost and doomed to hell. And that wasn't Jesus' purpose for coming here. He wanted to free the real man, the inner man. He wanted to free the one who would live beyond this life. He wanted to free the spirit man so that he would know freedom, listen, even in captivity. See, when your soul is free, I don't care what kind of hell you're going through, when you are liberated on the inside, he puts a joy in you that the world didn't give you and the world cannot take away. I don't care how bound you might be in the flesh. I don't care if you are behind bars. I don't care if you're locked in a terrible situation. There would be a liberty that comes in Jesus Christ that you cannot find anywhere else. And yet there are some people who are walking around free and who are bound in their spirit. There is a restlessness and a peacelessness underneath the skin. Something wrong and they can't put their fingers on it. All because it's not right with them underneath the skin with Jesus. And so when we begin to understand the price for Christ, what he paid, a ransom for our lives, he gave his life. But a ransom for our life is the next part, the provision in Christ. is so important. He gave his life, but why did he give his life? As a ransom for sin. As a payment for sin. He gave his life, and listen to this. It wouldn't have made sense to give his life if his life couldn't pay the bill. Amen. But he gave his life because his life was the only life that was acceptable to God as payment for penalty. Amen. Payment in full. For penalty of all mankind. Not just one. Not just the ones who sinned a little bit. But for that merciless sinner. The one who's done everything that can be done and finally came to himself and asked Jesus to be his Savior. He paid enough so that that person would know what it is to be free. And that's why he had to die. That's why he had to give up a sinless, perfect, and pure life to pay that ransom. That was the only life that God his Father would accept as full payment for the penalty of sin. And our spiritual debt because of our sin was so great that he could not pay it with anything else. Could not pay it. Could not pay it with anything else. My brother, my sister, when we begin to think of that and all, just let your mind for just a moment think of this. God in his infinite ability to create any and everything could not create anything else that was as precious and as pure and as powerful as his son Jesus. And that was the, listen at this, out of all of his creative ability, he accepted nothing less than that that was next to him. Y'all ain't got that. It would, listen. He loved mankind so much so that he could not vacate his sovereignty himself. So since he couldn't vacate sovereignty himself, he said, the next best thing is my son. And he gave the next best thing to himself, and that was his son. And his son, listen at this, gave his life. Did you get what I said? He saw the love his father had for us. And always wanting to please his father because he loved his father so much, he gave his life. Who can I find? Jesus and the Holy Ghost were there in the conference. I got to have somebody. Now listen, this was for man ever messed up. This was while man was on the drawing board. This was before the foundation of the world. Man hadn't even gotten here yet. And God looked through the portals of time and saw that that he created perfectly and put a will in and allowed that will to be free, which meant even though he knew right, he could still do wrong. Even though there should be no other God before him, he could choose to serve another God. He gave him a free will, and listen at this, and he saw that man would use it and use it wrong. He saw that though he gave man everything, man would turn his back on him. He saw that though he loved man with everything in him, that man would not do the same always. He saw that with the perfect love, he gave man the freedom to make his own choice. But he wouldn't let man control his own consequences. And so in the place of that, he was looking for someone. And everywhere he looked,